the birth of Jesus. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She put him in clothes and placed him in a manger. There was no guest room available for them. May God bless us with understanding of his word.
Well, good morning, everyone. So you're very fortunate to have me here today because this is very short notice. And so hopefully the sermon won't reflect that short noticeness. Now, the brief I got given actually was that this sermon was only meant to be 5 or 10 minutes long. And so I'm going to try to stretch it out a bit by talking a bit more slowly than I normally talk to. Okay, so when you think about Christmas, what do you tend to think about? You tend to think about, hopefully, you know, because we're here at church, we think about Jesus, which is an obvious one, but some of the other things that you might think about is obviously Santa, presents and gifts, Christmas trees, holidays, sun and barbecues, eating too much, Tony, and stress, shopping, children is for Christmas. Christmas is for children, and of course family. And it's quite interesting that, you know, Christmas is a time of year that actually most people are kind of nice to each other, aren't they? And when they interview people on, you know, the TV or the radio about Christmas, it's always about, oh yeah, I'm going back to Ikerahuna to spend time with Christmas, or I'm going back to Palmerston North to spend time with my 10 children and my 3 wives, or something like that, you know. So Christmas for us in the Bing family is quite important as well, because we have a tradition of going back and spending time with my brothers and sisters. So I have 5 siblings, so that's 6 in our family. And normally we go back to Blenheim, where I'm from. So we have 6 in our family, and as you can see, from my parents' perspective, there probably wasn't much to do in Blenheim in those days, hence the reason for our big family. But it's always a good thing because, you know, when you have a big family, it's often that you don't get, there's lots of families which basically don't get together very often because everyone goes to all these different parts of the country or different parts of the world. But we've been very fortunate that each of us do make a commitment to go back and spending time together. And when we go back to Blenheim, it's always a good time because, you know, especially when the kids, you know, when you've got young kids, it's always good that they see their cousins and, you know, they're running around and, you know, so there's lots of fun, there's lots of food, and sometimes there's lots of arguments and stuff like that. But it's all good stuff, you know. And I think that's one of the things I appreciate about Christmas. It's a time when you know, families reunite. And I think being Chinese and being part of the Chinese community, family is really important to us. It's interesting, though, isn't it, that when you look at, if you wanted to sort of look at a general theme of the Bible, you know, you could sort of explain it this way, that the Christian message is about, you know, creation, the fall, redemption, and restoration. But one other theme that you could say the Bible was all about is that God gets his family back. So Philip Yancey is one of my favourite authors. He sums it up like this. From the first book to the last, the Bible tells of the tortuous lengths to which God will reclaim his wayward children. Many of Jesus' stories focus on the themes of lostness, captured most beautifully by the story of the prodigal son. This brother of yours was lost, was dead, and is alive again. He is lost, and now he is found. So in Revelations, the entire biblical drama ends with a huge family reunion. The lost will be found. So I think what Philip Yancey is saying is that if you wanted to sum up what the whole Christian message about is about God's initiative to get his family back. Now we, Tony and I, and we actually went to GLOW on Sunday. Does anyone know what GLOW is? GLOW is this is this big Christmas carol sort of concert thing which was held last Sunday and is actually put together by St. Paul's, which is the Anglican church in Simon Street. And that church in itself is quite a remarkable church. But it was like about 10,000 people there, and people had glow sticks and everything like that. And they showed this, they actually created this video that we're going to watch now. And so excuse me, you're going to have to watch it again. But it was a really good video because I think shows you a bit about what maybe God was thinking about Christmas. Anyway, so can we watch the video now? Thanks.
I wondered what we might see if we could pull back the curtain of time to that very first Christmas. If we could, I imagine the story began in heaven something like this. God was looking over heaven's balcony one day, shaking his head at all the wrong things people were doing down on Earth.
Oh man, this isn't quite what I had in mind when I created Earth. I feel so far away from my kids down there.
Why?
It's just hard to be friends with people when you don't like what they're doing. I think it's time.
Time for what, Lord?
Time for us to step in.
Shall we read as a army, Lord? Take you to listen?
No, I don't think we should send an army. Maybe just one person.
One person?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
Lord, if we're sending just one person, it'll have to be someone very powerful and very strong. Because there's tons of people down there.
No, they don't have to be strong. They'll be going as a newborn baby.
A newborn baby?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
Lord, this plan is rather risky. A newborn human baby is small and weak. This baby must be born to people who will protect him. Maybe a great ruler or mighty king?
Actually, I was thinking I could send him to a young peasant girl whose heart is beautiful and full of courage.
A peasant girl?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
My lord, I see you're planning to take Earth by surprise. No one will be expecting a newborn baby born to a humble villager. But what good can a baby do?
This will not just be any baby. I'm sending in the Prince of Heaven in disguise.
The Prince of Heaven? Our Prince? Your son?
Brilliant! I won't be expecting that!
Lord, this is too risky. Sending the Prince in disguise as a tiny baby born not to kings but to humble villagers. Surely our prince cannot be born in a cottage. He must be born in a palace.
You're right. He shouldn't be born in a cottage.
Phew.
He'll be born in a stable.
A stable? Surrounded by animals? Okay. Filled with poo?
Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
Lord, how will people know he's there? What if they don't notice?
Those who are looking will find him, and his mission will bring all people closer to me, even if they do something really wrong. When the prince is done, nothing will get between them and my love.
Can we leave some clues for the people looking? Like in the stars?
Clues in the stars? Sure, why not? We can make one huge one that points to him.
Can we sing for him?
Yes, can we sing?
Sing to
sing.
God looked at their hopeful faces, and his heart was touched by their love for the prince.
All right, you can sing.
Yay!
But not in front of the whole world. That would just be weird. And no kings or rulers.
How about we sing for some shepherds?
That's a lonely job.
Those blokes could do with some cheering up.
Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
You know the rest of the story. An angel visited a humble girl with a courageous heart and told her the good news. She will have a baby, and he will be the Prince of Heaven, who would help Earth to be close to God again. As planned, the baby was born in a stable, about as far from a palace as you can get. A group of wise men noticed some strange clues in the stars. They packed their belongings and followed the star right to the baby. And of course,
a bunch of lonely shepherds were guarding their sheep when all of a sudden the sky was lit up by thousands of angels singing. Nobody would ever expect that.
You don't have to clap for me yet, I haven't finished yet. Okay, so as shown by the video, God could have used a lot of different ways to get our attention. Instead, he chose a baby to reunite his lost family. Jesus, when surrounded by tax collectors and sinners, used the idea of being lost to describe the state mankind was in. And when you look at the parables at the Luke 15, he talks about lost coin, lost sheep, and a lost son. And I don't know about you, but, you know, when you've lost something in your household, I have, you know, there was a major drama in the Bing household where I lost my iPad yesterday. And, yes, part of the cross that I have to bear. But when you lose something, you know, and you're sort of running around, you're sort of stressing out about it, and when you do eventually do find it, you know, you're really quite happy and you appreciate the thing that you've lost a lot more. And so perhaps that's how God feels about us who are strayed from him. People who are lost, they needed to be found. And in a sense, there was no sort of indifference or condemnation from Jesus, but one of compassion and longing to be reunited. Henry Nguyen says, God rejoices not because the problems of the world have been solved, not because all human pain and suffering has come to an end, nor because of thousands of people who have been converted and are now praising him for his goodness. No, God rejoices because one of his children who had been lost and now has been found. And that's the mathematics of grace. It doesn't really make sense in this sense of the world, but in God's eyes, one person is important. God wants his family back. Christmas is about going home. And Christmas is about being reunited with family and friends. Christmas should be a reminder that God's arrival as one of us is part of the narrative to bring us back into his family. The rescue mission initiated by God for the people he loves, and about Jesus being the rescuer, offering the means to come home. And that the gift to be reunited with God is an unconditional gift with no strings attached, i.e. grace. You know, one of the privileges of being a parent is that you can get an insight in a lot of ways how God may feel about how we relate to how he relates to us as his children. And there was an incident a few weeks ago that I'd just like to share with you. So I was putting one of my girls down to sleep upstairs. Girls asleep upstairs. And she actually said to me, she said, "Dad, do you love me?" Which, you know, it's kind of unusual to say that. I said, "Well, of course I love you." And then, you know, I was sort of tucking around and something like that. And then she asked me another question. She said, "Dad, am I a good girl?" And I said, "You're a very good girl, you know." So I tuck her in, give her a hug, go downstairs. And then I had a thought, and then I yelled out to her, "You know what? I love you even if you were a bad girl." You know, so I think what it says is that, you know, and I think there was a bit of God inspiration there rather than my sense, but is that God loves us regardless of, you know, what we're like. He loves us even when we're bad. And Christmas is an example of that initiation of God's love. God loves us for who we are not. God loves us for who we are and not what we have done, but what he has done. And Christmas is testimony to this, and God wants to reunite us with the lost to bring them home. It's about a lovesick father waiting for his son or daughter to return, and when he does, running down the road to embrace and celebrate that his child has returned. So yeah, I want to just leave you a gift. It's a gift that that every time you think about when you're opening your presents, I want you to think about this gift. And it's round and it's got a big hole in the middle. And that gift is actually nothing. I'm going to give you nothing for Christmas. Okay? So the reason I give you nothing is because I want you to remember that nothing living or dead, nothing angelic or demonic, nothing today or tomorrow, and nothing high or low, nothing thinkable or unthinkable, and absolutely nothing, 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 nothing can get us between God and His love. God's love, God's gift, and God's grace is expressed in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that we have family and that